Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Alrighty, we are here for Southern Cross. It's back on air today. I'm joined in studio by AUT Pacific Media Centre's Rahul Basarai and Mike Treen. How are you both? Do you want to just grab that mic? Is that cool?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Very good. All right. I'm excited for this. This was a bit of a little surprise. I didn't know we had famous Mike Treen. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the detention of an Australian research student in an Indonesian airport and the Nine Fairfax merger. And we've got Mike Treen, National Director of Unite Union, who's just arrived in New Zealand after being deported by Israel on a humanitarian mission to Gaza last week. First, Rahul, the PMC's Asia Pacific report has reported a story about an Australian research student who's been detained in Indonesia. Could you tell us more about it?
Yes, absolutely. Now, look, the name of the student is Belinda Lopez, and she's an Australian research student who's doing her PhD on Indonesian studies. So at the moment, what happened was she went to Indonesia for a holiday, and they detained her because in a suspicion that she was a journalist. And she was, 2 years ago as well, her visa was declined without any reason again, just without being given any good reason, just based on suspicion that she was a journalist. Although she did not make a very big deal out of it because she wanted to have an ongoing relationship with an Indonesian government. Obviously, because of her line of study, she needs to go there and she has long ties.
So she is doing research in Indonesia?
No, she is doing research from Australia, okay. But she has to go back and forth in Indonesia. You see?
Yeah. So who is denying her visa?
The Indonesian government.
Okay.
Yes. The immigration in Indonesia, so. Although I think she, 9 years ago, she did work in an Indonesian press, Jakarta Post, as a sub-editor. That could be the reason. And
right.
She also said that during her detention in the airport, those people kept on asking her if she was a journalist and she had done anything wrong to the country. And obviously she hasn't. And she was detained from midnight for about 24 hours before she could board. They deported her, basically.
What is her research about?
It's about Indonesian culture and country as a whole.
So it's not necessarily anything against the government?
Oh, not that I know of, and I don't think it is anything against the government. Absolutely not, no. And that's what she's wondering. If the question is, why has she been blacklisted?
Mm.
And how long and for what reason? We don't know that.
So where is she now?
Oh, in Australia, I think. Yeah, she's gone back.
Okay. That's all? All right. Just making sure of this. And Asia Pacific Report has also reported a Nine Fairfax merger, warning for investigative media and democracy. What's that mean?
So basically Nine Network is trying to take over Fairfax. They say it's a merger, but it's not really a merger. Nine Network is a very wealthy media outlet compared to Fairfax. Now, Fairfax has been around for over 150 years. And I think what Fairfax, they did not have as much of a punch, or they did not do much in terms of digital platform like Nine Network has done. So Nine Network bought off their share, and they are going to be one company if the things go ahead. And that is not very good for media, especially in this part of the world, because...
Why is that?
If Nine Network takes over, Fairfax, that will reduce media plurality, which means there'll be just basically one voice. And we do need media, more media as outlet, so you know we'll have enough ideas, and we're not just being fed on one ideas constantly.
So we're talking sort of the, I suppose, the constraints of funding too for media outlets.
That could possibly be true.
What's in it for Fairfax?
Well, nothing really, and even that's what can they do if their shares have been bought by Night Network? They basically got taken over by the network company. And also the danger is that Nine Network is more of a tabloid network that just relays sensational stories, and Fairfax is more about journalism and investigative journalism. So if the merger does go ahead, then that would be a really bad for investigative journalism in this part of the world.
Okay. We should follow that.
Yes, absolutely.
Mike, you just got deported from Israel while you were on a mission to end the 12-year-old blockade. Could you tell us, tell us, how are you?
I'm fine, a little bruised, and, you know, sort of, they sobbed on my foot, so I've been limping. I've got cracked ribs, so I can't sleep. Got tasered in the head and the face and the neck, so, but that doesn't seem to be very long lasting, so that seems to have, we seem to have recovered from that quite
well.
What
do you do about that?
Well, I don't know what you can do about that, and there's very few recourses. Israel treats acts and as a completely lawless power in that region. I think they say that they've got a right. They say, and I just want to talk. You know, some media have been repeating a soundbite which has annoyed me, particularly from the Israeli embassy, which says that this blockade has been deemed to be lawful, and it's just a lie. And human rights, all sorts of commission, UN commissions. There was one report from Jeffrey Palmer, however, into a massacre of some people on one of these kafilas before, which said that there might be a case for inspecting for arms or some other purpose, but this is not what they're doing. What they have imposed on Gaza is a complete siege. So nothing goes in, nothing goes out without Israel's approval. In fact, nothing goes out at all, not even an olive. So the economy's collapsed, this widespread sort of poor health, poor malnutrition, lack of access to basic sort of facilities. This is a siege that is collectively punishing 2 million people in a tiny strip of land in the Middle East, and it's got to end one day.
What were you doing? What was your role?
There are various groups around the world that are trying to get a boat into the Gaza port. Our one had medical aid on, but it was also delivering itself in a sense as a fisherman's boat. So the Norwegian fishing people and towns in Norway had financed and built this, converted this boat, and were donating it to fishermen in Gaza, who 50% unemployed. You know, they're only allowed to fish out to 3 mile limits and so on. So even the fishermen are subject to a sort of a brutal blockade. But we wanted to give them some reinforcement. Half of them are unemployed, and the resources they have available are extremely... Many of their ships have been confiscated by Israel if they try to go out more than three... Sometimes it's a three-mile restriction, sometimes a six-mile restriction, but almost never a 12. Are they allowed to actually go out to their legal limit of 12 miles?
All right. Now, you wouldn't have been the only person deported.
No, there were 22 of us on that boat, and another 12 on another boat, a sailing ship. Ours was a converted sort of fishing vessel, so a bit of a trawler, but the other was a Swedish yacht, so about 36 people in all. And we were subject to some pretty severe beatings and taserings and so on. So it was not a pleasant welcome by Israel, and they stole nearly everything that I possessed.
Yeah, I heard you got some money stolen.
Yeah, money stolen, phones, cameras, laptops, sort of.
On any basis? What was their basis of confiscation?
No comment. I had no idea what I had left until I was at the airport and I was given a shoulder bag, a little bit like this, that was one of my possessions with my wallet and some toiletries.
So
that's all I got. That's all I was able to leave with.
What now? Surely this is sort of not accepted on an international human rights stage.
Well, I'm going to be complaining to Winston Peters. Winston was was notable for a silence, our foreign affairs minister, while I was being detained and kidnapped and so on. The ship was being hijacked. I was being kidnapped. He appeared to be relatively silent, but also the New Zealand diplomatic representative there behaved extremely poorly. He made me sit in a room instead of alone, which all the other diplomatic representatives had their countrymen in a privacy. He sat me in a room with Israeli prison and security officials. He told me it was my fault that I tasered, like it was almost like I tasered my own face. When I complained about the theft of my bag, he says that's strong language. When I said he appeared to be acting more like a, when I asked him to find out if what I was particularly worried about was my passport and wallet, whether they were even in the bag, in terms of my wallet, he wouldn't make any effort to find out. In fact, he laughed and accepted the argument that in a prison, they had no key to open the door where all our stuff was stored. So The other diplomatic representative from Norway was insistent that one of his nationals, whose eyesight was very poor and he had no access to his glasses, was allowed to go into the room and access his glasses. My one laughs with the Israelis about their guy sort of sleeping in or whatever and not being available to open the door. So, and then he tried to pressure me into signing an immediate deportation order and advised me that I didn't need to see a lawyer. He just acted as... in the end, I said, You're acting more like an agent of the Israeli state rather than a representative of me, my countrymen, which was very poor.
Okay, well, we're probably running out of time, unless you want to add something else, Rahul.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But one thing, though, all of the stories that we did speak about today is up on asiapacificreport.nz. If you guys want to update or see, cool, have a look at it, that'll be a good place to.
I did just want to also say, Mike, though, what next for you? What next for that code?
Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do a formal sort of complaint to Winston and about the conduct of this person and ask that his warrant or whatever it is to operate as a New Zealand representative be revoked. And also to try to get the New Zealand government to be more active in trying to bring an end to the siege of Gaza. Mm. Not a naval blockade, it's a siege.
Mm. Okay, thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Talk next week.
That was the Southern Cross.